The Holy Gospel appointed for the fourth Sunday in Lent is taken from the Gospel of St. John, the third chapter, verses 14 through 21. Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is a judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come as the light, but his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes in the light, so that in the unity so clearly, soon that his deeds have been carried out in God." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. Gracious and merciful Father, today you challenge us again to believe in your great love for us, as you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and die on the cross in our place, so that we may have not only the forgiveness of all of our sins, but especially the gift of eternal life through faith in your Son, Jesus, as our Savior. Father, send your Holy Spirit to be with us as he leads us, guides us, and sanctifies us in our faith and trust in Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. The words for our meditation today is taken from the gospel lesson appointed for this Sunday, the Gospel of St. John, the third chapter, with special attention to the following verses. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, our personal Savior and the Lord of our Christian life, if you were to die tonight, are you sure that you are going to heaven? What would you say right now? And if you were at the pearly gates of heaven, and Jesus were to look into your eyes and ask you, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" What would you say to Jesus? Yes. What would you say to Jesus? Unfortunately, sad to say, there are many people, including Lutherans, who do not have the right answer to both of these questions. To the first question, most say that they hope to go to heaven. Others, they are not sure about going to heaven. To the second question, most say that they went to church on Sundays. They tried to obey the commandments. They really didn't hate anyone and tried to help the poor, the needy, and the lonely, and a host of other answers based on their good works and self-righteousness. And Ed, what is the right answer to both questions? If you were to die tonight, are you sure you're going to heaven? And the answer is yes. I am sure I'm going to heaven. To the second question, if you were to die tonight and you were at the pearly gates of heaven and you were standing in the presence of Jesus and he were to look you into the eyes and ask you that very important question, why should I let you into my heaven? The answer is because you, Jesus, have suffered and died on the cross in my place and have forgiven all of my sins through your blood and righteousness. Because that's precisely what Jesus told Nicodemus in our text for today. A member of the Pharisees who asked Jesus how one can be born again, and especially how one can enter the kingdom of God. And this is what Jesus told Nicodemus. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Yes, Jesus told Nicodemus and others standing by that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness of the desert to save the people of Israel from their sins and transgressions, so must the Son of Man, Jesus, be lifted up on Mount Calvary to save us and the whole world from our own sins and transgressions in order to be forgiven of all of our sins and receive the free gift of eternal life through faith in Jesus as our Savior. And then Nicodemus went on to hear Jesus say to him, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. As a matter of fact, here we have two very important verbs. Loved and gave. First of all, God the Father loved the world so very much that he was moved by his compassion to save the world from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. But in order to accomplish his saving love, grace, and mercy for us and the whole world, he had to make a very important and difficult decision. It came with a price. The words of Dr. Martin Luther in the short explanation of the second article of the Apostles' Creed, I believe that Jesus has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. Yes, it came with a price, his holy precious blood, his innocent suffering and death. God the Father had to give up someone he loved so very dearly. He gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to become the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And all that we have to do is to accept it and to believe in him as our Savior, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You know, the good news of the gospel is so simple and so easy to understand, and yet for many people, very hard and difficult to accept. This is especially true when we consider again the question of the rich man. When he asked Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus told him, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But he just couldn't bring himself to give up what he had accomplished in life, his wealth, all of his possessions he accumulated in life, in order to believe in Jesus and follow Jesus. We read again in the Gospel of Mark, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. And unfortunately, that is also true today. As many continue to rely on themselves, their own success and accomplishments in life, their career, their possessions, without any concern for the day when they finally die to this world. Unfortunately, sad to say, they lived the same kind of lifestyle the rich man did, who dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day, while the poor man Lazarus, covered with sores, ate what fell from the man's table. One day both men died, and Lazarus was carried by the angels into the kingdom of heaven to Abraham's side. But unfortunately, the same could not be said of the rich man who suddenly found himself in hell, where he was in agony and torment. And he pleaded with Father Abraham, saying, "Have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm in agony in this fire." But it was too late. There was absolutely nothing Lazarus or Father Abraham could do for him. There was a great chasm between the rich man and Lazarus and Father Abraham. Yes, once a person is in hell, and listen to this, there isn't going to be a second chance for them to repent and to believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And by the way, they won't be able to dial 911 either, to call for the fire department to come and extinguish the fire in hell, or to call the paramedics to come and to ease their pain, and especially their agony in hell. It's going to be too late for them. Yes, once God the Father loved the world and gave His only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and die on the cross, everyone is challenged to make their own decision for themselves, either to accept Jesus Christ or not to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because the answer to that question has eternal consequences. It is a question of either being saved to eternal life in heaven, or to be condemned to the eternal death in hell. The question the jailer asks Paul and Silas, "Men, what must I do to be saved?" And they told them, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." The words of St. Paul in the epistle lesson for today, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Yes, it is by grace. It is through faith. It is a gift from God. And certainly, it is not by good works. What we have accomplished in life, our success, our accomplishments, or anything else we claim to have done in order to be saved. The good works and self-righteousness claimed by the Pharisee in the temple. Remember these words, "I thank thee, my heavenly Father, that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get." Instead, we are to be more like the tax collector who stood at a distance in a corner of the temple. He would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but he pleaded, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And this is what Jesus had to say about them. I tell you that this man, the tax collector, rather than the other, the Pharisee, went home justified before God. For everyone who humbles himself will be exalted, and he who exalts himself will be humbled. Yes, at the end of the day, it's always about what Jesus has done and accomplished for us on the cross, as he suffered and died to save us from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. The words of Jesus to Nicodemus in the last part of our text for today, for God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Again, here we have two important verbs, condemn and saved. God the Father doesn't want anyone to be condemned to the fire of hell, but be saved to the joy and bliss of heaven. As a matter of fact, in his instruction of worship to young Timothy, who was about to become a pastor, St. Paul told them, God our Savior wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Yes, may God the Father bless us and preserve us through his Holy Spirit as we answer those two questions correctly. Yes, I am sure I'm going to heaven. Yes, because you, Jesus, suffered and died on the cross in my place and have forgiven me of all of my sins through your blood and your righteousness. If you know of someone who isn't saved, go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they too may be in the kingdom of heaven, that they too may be able to answer those two questions correctly, that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. The words we sang about in the hymn of the day, God loved the world so that he gave his only Son the loss to save, that all who would in him believe should everlasting life receive. God bless you in your walk with Jesus. Yes, I'm sure I'm going to heaven, and so are you. Yes, because you, Jesus, have died for us. Because you, Jesus, have forgiven all of my sins and your sins through your blood and righteousness. In Jesus' name, for Jesus, amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of his Holy Spirit, and abide with us all unto life everlasting. Amen.